Maggie, I think we have you scheduled for public comment before we open. If you'd like to come to them.
My name is Maggie Noe. I'm a previous employee of Taney County, and what my comment would be, on Saturday, July 7th, I read in the Branson Tri-Lake News, which has to do with raises and also the 2% raise or half a percent raise that you're going to give or looking at giving to the employees on retirement. I won't read the whole article to you, but the very last article I have some concerns with, or actually not concerned, but clarification. The last paragraph reads in the newspaper, the proposed increase would upgrade all previous county employees who paid into the retirement system by a half a percent, and with the recently approved salary increases would come at an annual cost of $493,800 to $523,800 to the county, according to the figures provided by loggers, the county commission, and the auditor's office. I think we need some clarification, and maybe you can clarify it today. I know it's only a comment, but does that include the employees who retired, such as myself? I retired April 29th of 2011. Does that mean that I'm also eligible for the increase? That's a comment that I'd like to have and clarification before you vote on it July 12th. Second of all, the expense that you put in here of $493,800 to $523,800, I think need clarification that it is my understanding that that is an ongoing, continue year after year after year expense to the county. I think that needs clarified if indeed that is a true statement or if it is not a true statement, and possibly you or the auditor's office could answer that. I think the employees need to know that, what it's going to cost them. And I think my very last comment is I was here when they laid off 28.5 employees, as you know. I was one of those employees who left. I was one of those 28.5 I elected to retire. If by doing this, and at that time when you laid off the 28.5, you told the county and the county employees that there was no money to do raises or continue on with the amount of people that we had. Consequently, we had the layoff of 28.5 people. The year before that, I believe we laid off 13 from Road and Bridge, but don't quote me on that figure. It was either 13 or 15. By taking on the $523,800, I'll use a high point for example, is in the future, 2000, when you're looking at the 2013 budget, because of this figure and supposedly no money, is this going to affect more employees that's going to have to be laid off? I think that if it does, I think you better take another look at it to see whether or not this half a percent will be worthwhile the cost of another employee. I completely agree with the statement that was made up under the layoff. We spend an awful lot of money training employees, hiring employees, training employees for us to turn around and transfer them to another department in another county, in another area, whether it be Branson, Christian County, Stone County, and et cetera. I would like before July 12th to have you either contact or put into the newspaper the answers to these questions, because as a taxpayer, I'm also concerned about the $523,800 that will be ongoing. It won't stop. Do you know offhand if this affects me, or can you not make a comment since this is only comment?
This is public comment, and we don't offer comments in rebut. I'll be delighted to talk with you personally about this at any time, Maggie, but we're not going to be answering your comments today.
But you have until...
If it were an agendized item, we would be addressing it and would be talking with you about it, but aside from that, we cannot.
Okay, since you're making the decision...
Let me make a quick comment that will end this, and we can agendize you if you like for some time in the future. To the best of my knowledge, this county commission has not established a public hearing. I know what's been reported in the paper, and as far as the loggers at that time, then it'll be open for public comment. It'll be open for comment from employees, elected officials, and anyone within the community. But we're not hearing it until that time.
Until July 12th?
Until sometime after that date.
But do you not vote on it July 12th?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you.
We don't. I'd like to call today's meeting of the Taney County Commission to order this Monday, July 9th, 2012, and call on Rick Finley to offer an opening prayer. Rick, if everyone would stand.
If you guys pray with me, I appreciate it. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the blessings you've given us. We just are amazed at the goodness you have for us, the mercies you have for us, and we just thank you most of all for your Son that you sent to die upon the cross for us. We just praise you, Lord, for that and hope that we would be worthy of the task that you've given to share with others. We just pray, Lord, that you would give us wisdom today and all the days we're here, that you just help us to make decisions to be pleasing to you and just honoring to you in all that we do. We pray for those that are living and fighting for us today, dear Lord, and in other countries, even in this country. We just thank you for them, pray that you would watch over them, give them guidance, be with their families and watch over them. Again, dear Lord, we thank you for the many, many blessings you've given us and pray that you just continue to watch over us. These things we ask in your Son's name. Amen. Amen.
Mr. Strahan, will you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Previous meeting minutes.
Where's that one? There's one that I want to postpone. Make sure this is the right one here. Motion to approve. Do you just want to postpone both? Let's, Nick, just repost these for Thursday.
Okay.
Because there's some changes that are substantial.
Okay.
So we'll just put the minutes up on Thursday. Okay. Is that all right, gentlemen? We don't have to postpone or anything.
Accounts payable.
Motion to approve accounts payable checks 329628 through 329714, warrants 5647, two transfers, one from, you can see there's one from plan zoning to, we created a new department, one transfer from department 130-50-010 to 585-80-002, and then the from a prosecutor special fund to GCR. And let me explain that the top one is we were in our budget process last December. We created a new department which held all the planning and zoning bonds, and that's just moving the – it's not refunding any bonds. It's just moving money from planning and zoning into a special department that we hold bonds separately.
To cover the bonds that are existing.
To planning and zoning bonds, right.
Okay. I'll second the motion.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve checks number 329628. Through 329714, warrant number 5647, and two transfers as written. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Let me just say I'm really proud to see this many people come out just to hear the budget report. I appreciate it, guys. 6-month budget report, and guys, I send this to you so you probably have looked at it already. A couple of things I wanted to bring to your attention as this is a 6-month report here. I compared it to last year in general county revenue. That's one of the funds that we have to be concerned about because we know we plan to deficit spend this year. We actually are spending about $300,000 less than what we did the first six months of 2011, which is a good thing. The bad thing is that we have about $300,000 less revenues the first 6 months of this year we had in 2011. So We do have a deficit in there right now, but we had the same deficit, about the same deficit in spending last year at this time. So we're looking and tracking to be maybe at the same word at the end of the year. Hopefully we will be. Most of the other funds are positive cash flow. The balances are more than what they were at the beginning of the year. There's a couple of those, and I've mentioned these before. One of those is transfer station, and we need to be aware of that. The other one's 911, and I know you guys, that's been brought to your attention too. Did you guys have any questions that you saw that you need to ask or wanted to ask?
The difference in the transfer station is the help that we give the citizens during the tornado storm debris pickup of free delivery of their storm debris and the trash, and that's where that difference is at, the way that I read it.
I'm sure that that's part of it, Danny, but we have, for the past year, I've been telling you we've been need to be looking at the fees that we charge out there, because I think that it's been negative cash flow for several months in the last year. So you need to be aware that it might be something you look at.
And the large expenditure is the computerized control system we put in. That was the big expenditure this 6 months. So.
And that was 400.
250
right,
this year.
Right.
250 this
came
year.
Out last year. What came
250
out
last year. 250 this year. About yeah. About right at 500,000.
No, that's good. Thanks, Rick. And I did go through it. Agenda request, Nikki.
As you'll see, there are several new requests on the form I've just handed out to you. All of the new requests are requesting be placed on for Thursday.
What do you have a timeline for our meeting with the SUR board?
The 20th, you said?
The 20th.
I'm talking about the amount of time.
An hour.
An hour.
I mean, that's fine. Number one for me for the 20th, that's fine. I mean, it's, if you guys are fine with that.
Yeah. Number two, we're going to do in August.
Yeah, and we
number
can same
three,
same day.
We're going to discuss on Thursday. Number four, this was a request that was brought. Let's see if he's here. He's not.
Do we need to add to number three?
That needs to go on the
they
agenda.
Want to buy salt and fuel.
Yeah, we put that on, we put that
Thursday.
On Thursday. Yeah.
Thursday.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think we're going to need a half hour on number four.
Okay.
I mean, you can schedule all these for Thursday. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
I mean, you guys.
Nikki, on number eight,
yes.
Is that
you asked me
a signature on the document
yes.
That would re-implement
correct.
That supplementation?
Okay. Yes.
And that's all that is?
Yes.
Jimmy and your
Jonas. Jonas, are we also going to have a request for us to look at appointment of an EEZ board on Thursday?
Yes, sir.
Was that our timeline?
Okay.
And that's not on here.
If you
I was told about that after I completed
okay.
The sheet.
But I think there
approval of a seven-member board and a resolution to move forward with the application.
Let's schedule that for Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, that was part of the agreement that we had when we set down the timeline, right? Okay. Danny, Jim, anything else on Thursday?
No.
I am not sure, Nikki, that we're going to be done with BOE. We are thinking that may happen tomorrow, but if it doesn't, we need to look at
Thursday,
this day, to finish the Board of Equalization. I know that's separate, but...
If
as
not,
far as your commission meetings, do you want to do those in the morning or the afternoon? If that,
I would rather do BOE following
okay.
commission.
That's fine.
Is that all right?
That's all right. If we have a timeline, I'd rather set those on a Monday if she hadn't already scheduled, because we've got 8 issues here, and some of them are rather lengthy discussions, and I don't know whether we'll be able to finish with a partial day on Thursday with some issues left over on BOE or not.
Well, the only issues I'm thinking of are probably going to take an hour, and it'll just be cleanup. It's not hearings, but...
Your scheduling gives us an hour in the afternoon?
It should, yes.
Okay. But legal's not going to be here?
No.
Okay. That's fine, then. I was concerned about their amount of time.
Anything else, Nick?
No, that's it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Next meeting we have is the Enhanced Enterprise Zone presentation. Charles, welcome. And you can either stand at the podium or you can sit, whichever you prefer.
I think he needs to push the button, so.
Yeah, I think I'll stand.
Oh, gotcha.
Jonas Argus, Director of the Taney County Business Development Partnership. First of all, gentlemen, I'd like to thank the Commission for the time and opportunity to do this presentation today on the countywide Enhanced Enterprise Zone. I prepared for 45 minutes and was told prior to the meeting it was 30, so I'll try to expedite and trim as much as I can. What my objective here today is to, one, touch on why the Enhanced Enterprise Zone is important, what it will do for us, and what it looks like, and then how we are to move forward with that process. This slide presentation is from the Missouri Department of Economic Development, supplied by Carol Shoemaker. I have edited a little bit, not taking away any content, but just to make it to where it's more applicable to this presentation. So, why create a zone? Basically, the Enhanced Enterprise Zone gives us a tool in attraction and retention of jobs. And not just any jobs, primary and good-paying jobs. The benefits, outside the benefits themselves, the way the site selection process works, they have checklists. And part of that is why we feel this is an important tool to have. Some of the reasoning behind that is the University of Northern Iowa's Institute for Decision Making came down a couple weeks ago and facilitated a planning session for the partnership. And they did an exercise where they looked at us as a community, as a county, from the standpoint and perspective of a site selector or a consultant. And one of the tables I found very interesting here was by the Department of Labor. And if you'll notice, it breaks out Taney County, the Springfield MSA, the state, and then the nation. And also, I did put some supporting documentation at your places to you can follow along and some other stuff. So if you'll notice on this graph or this table, Taney County is dead last in every classification except for one, and that is computer and mathematical occupations. We beat the Springfield MSA by about $1.20 on average. All the rest were dead last. Another interesting piece here is I think we're all familiar with this, but again, according to the Department of Labor, this is our cyclical unemployment rate in Taney County. Based off the tourism industry, you'll see that you know, prior to the economic downturn, it was pretty consistent, and up to we had some really good years there, 06, 07. But after the economic downturn, you'll notice that at the peak of unemployment, we're in the 22% to 23% range. And at the bottom, at the good seasonal time period, we're still hanging right there with a national average of 8% to 9%. So, again, this is just to, you know, solidify our belief that better year-round high-quality jobs is something that we need to really strive for in Taney County. Talking about site selectors and consultants, this was from a survey that the Department of Economic Development did back in 2008. And just list some of the factors and points that site selectors work off of. And I'd like to refer to another piece that I came across here recently. We had the opportunity to participate in Lakeside with the Guild a couple of weeks ago up in Camdenton with 10 of the country's top site selectors and consultants. And one of the roundtable discussions was around incentives. And Dennis Donovan with, pardon me just a second, I got it right here. Dennis Donovan, Jeff Wadley Donovan, yeah. All right, pardon me, but I've got it right here. His statement was that really stuck out to me was, the media makes, talking of incentives, the media makes them extremely visible. And then the comment was, companies expect them more than ever and given incentives outside importance in the site selection process. And to kind of expand on that is that the companies that are looking for places to expand and relocate have a very high value on local and state incentives. Now, do they use them all the time? Not necessarily. In your supporting document, you'll have the stats from the departments, the Missouri's Department of Economic Development, tax credits and how those track. You'll notice in one piece of that it shows that incentive or tax credits that were applied for, then tax credits that were approved, and then tax credits were utilized. It's a down, you apply for a lot, or some get approved and less get utilized. So part of that is site selectors work off a checklist. And as they're going down that checklist, and we're one of thousands, and we're not competing just here locally in the state or nationally. We're competing with thousands of locations all across the globe. So they go down and check incentives. If you don't have them, boom, you're done. You're out. You're out of the equation. So that is why, as far as a local incentive, is another reason why this is so important to us. I just want to read a couple more things, and this is from a study by the International Economic Development Council that they did in 2011. And these are comments made by site selectors in quotes. First one is, the incentive package is a determining factor no more than 25% of the time. Most projects are branch operations, not Boeing assembly plants, so many other factors go into the mix that rarely would incentives be the deciding factor. But, this is the crucial one, it's going to be a contributing factor all of the time, and that's referencing back to the checklist that they go by. Another quote, if two areas are relatively equal and the incentives differ, it is conceivable that incentives could drive the final decision after you've vetted all the location. One more and I'll move on. Quote, if we get down to two or three sites that are very similar, the incentives play a big role in determining who is chosen. So again, the importance of incentives. Again, back to UNIIDM, part of their process, you'll notice up there that the local incentives that were offered, the only thing they picked up on was the TIF. And those are not necessarily very popular on here due to the past. So that again in itself, if they're doing their due diligence and their fact-finding in locations, if they see that, and they think it's limited, we're off the list. We're not even in the game. State incentives, it mentions Missouri Quality Jobs, Enhanced Enterprise Zone. You know, one note to consider about this EEZ is that Foresight's EEZ has already bared fruit. Now, NEC utilized that zone to create 27 new jobs. Now, would they not have done those jobs if it weren't for the EEZ? I don't know. But I was told that the fact that they were able to utilize that incentive program, it made them create those jobs sooner rather than later. So it expedited that process for NEC. This is our scorecard or grade card, if you want to call it, from UNI. If you'll notice down at the bottom, location incentives, we were graded at limited assets, and that's partly because there are so many programs through the state. You know, we could have easily been over there at the location liabilities, but we would have been can be corrected under that column. So any questions to this point? One thing I'd like to point out, though, they graded us quality of place issues at limited assets. I kind of took offense to that. because I think as far as quality of life and quality of place, we've got it pretty good. But again, it's you're dealing, when it comes to site selectors and consultants, you're dealing with people that have no earthly idea of the culture that they're looking at. It's all about the statistics and available information that they're finding in their early process. So back to the Enhanced Enterprise Zone and our effort. Obviously, this is not a new topic for us or for this organization or this county. I think we're in about year six through different variations and different organizations moving this process forward. When we developed this partnership, we chose to pick this ball up, and we're going to take it across the finish line. And where we are is at the point where the map has been established. You'll see over here, it's a qualified run. It encompasses the majority of the county. The areas shaded in red are in the zone. You'll see that an area over there by the lake and Lake Taneycomo is out. That yellow area right there is the Branson Hills development, which currently has its own CID, if I'm not mistaken. The little oil can looking area here, that is basically, if you go up Mount Branson, north of East Highway 76, west of Lakeshore Drive, and then the other boundary is east of T Highway, and then south and southwest of, there's a road just past Timberlake. I live on that road. Can't think of it at the moment. Sunset. Goodness, I'm sorry. Okay, so, but there you have it. And then the other yellow here, that is the existing zone already in Forsyth. So this is a qualified run. We've had the maps bought and ready to go for the public hearing. And so where we are in the process is the resolution for the zone designation that allows us to move forward with the application, and then the approval of a seven-member EEZ board. The qualifications for the map, we went a lot of that was due to poverty rates. It is contiguous, as you see, and it will be good for 25 years. Now, one of the time issues that we have with this map is that as we are standing here today, the Department of Economic Development has not started utilizing the 2010 census data yet. They intend to do so sometime in the fall. Now, the implications for us are that if we do not get our application in and approved prior to those census numbers being utilized by the EED, then we go back to square one. So with the time and energy we've used to get these maps done and everything, that's all for naught. We start back at square one. So that's why it's a little time sensitive. Now, the seven-member board.
Thomas, I know there's been different maps. Which one is this in the process?
Sir, that's number nine. So we're averaging 1.5 a year, basically, since this whole effort started. So, but as from the maps that I've seen, this is probably one of the most encompassing. And it can, you know, just a brief side note on the map. Our non-negotiables for the map for us were, you've got the area north of Branson that has the Commerce Park and the mountain complex. You have the area south of Hollister that takes in the airport and the property surrounding the airport. And then you have the what I call the Kirbyville-Forsyth corridor. That area between basically T Highway all the way to Forsyth of Highway 76 frontage that can be utilized, which has some great access. They've actually got some dirt over there that you can put some foundations in and not have to blast out. So those were the three areas that we really needed to get in there, and we were able to do that. I know a previous map had this southeastern quadrant taken out. That's mostly, you know, national forest. So, but for the census tracts to work and to get the run qualified, there's one little piece right there that's not in it. But the rest, you see how it lays out. So,
Jonas, let me just add one thing, too. All our incorporated villages are also, Rockaway and the villages are all in this, too. So that's something that has... they get an opportunity that comes along. They're not excluded from that. So that was important also.
You have a question?
Yeah, Danny.
Okay, those that you're talking about, as you go into an incorporated area, are those do they have their boards also? As Forsyth has a board already set up and established, do you have to, do they have to go in front of the city board plus the board that we would establish?
No, the chief elected official in this case, which is presiding Commissioner Houseman, that they encompass those incorporated villages and cities that want to be part of the zone. So there, you only need one resolution and one ordinance to cover those areas.
The areas that are already in the zone, does that pertain to them also?
The Forsyth zone, is that what you're referring to?
That's what I would be referring to now, and along with the other white markings on there.
Well, though the other ones are the other. There's only one existing zone in Taney County. That's the one in Forsyth. They would retain their existing board and their existing zone. Our intent is to make our NAICS codes and abatements and incentives match up with what Forsyth already has, so that way there wouldn't be any competition. Now, I've been asked to ask the state a question, if once we establish our zone, can we incorporate the existing zone? So there's only one, so you don't have two different ones. I've yet to ask that question. I don't know the answer to that. But there will be two separate boards the way it sits right now.
Commissioner, did that answer your question or it didn't answer?
No, it didn't answer my question.
I have a feeling here. Let me go ahead and ask that one more time. The board, the incorporated villages will have a voice on the larger board, and they'll have it through these members that you see up here, as will the special taxing districts, as will the county, the schools. So each of them get a board on the larger, a voice on the larger board. So they'll have representation there, rather than each individual village or each individual city having a particular voice.
And a part of this, if I'm not mistaken, is that we would have to conduct a public hearing, or public hearings, but I think a minimum of one, at which time any member of an incorporated area could come in and say, we don't like this at all, or we do like this and we want to be a part of it. And that is when, if in fact there was opposition, there would have to be some potential changes made into the map that we've got. I don't know of any that exists out there.
I think you have we would in find the room today. Do we have a Rockaway member here?
Yes,
there's Larry.
Okay, all right. So we get if you were to have that voice, certainly I would encourage you to just ask them, because everyone's here, and the reason they're here is they can tell you why.
Part of the process today is this is introducing EEZ formally to us.
Yes, sir.
You all have done a great deal of work, as have other members of different organizations prior to your getting involved in it. But from this point, when you finish, and I apologize for jumping in so quickly, we want to go ahead and establish a time to have a public hearing. If we wish to establish a board, we can move forward with that. With, if I'm not mistaken, all political subdivisions have one board member, schools have one board member, and then the county appoints five. But I'm jumping in, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. I understand.
I would just add on real quick that each one of those municipalities will have to pass their own resolution to affirm this is what they want to do.
I'm sorry, I was mistaken. I thought the county's resolution and ordinance covered everybody, so.
Thanks, Jeff.
Okay. So basically, as Commissioner Houseman touched upon, this is a seven-member board. The school board is represented by one individual. All the other taxing entities represented by one individual. Remaining five members appointed by the chief elected official. And then the varying terms of service listed below. Just so you all know, I have spoken with representatives from all the taxing entities except for two. One being the CID at Branson Hills, because it doesn't apply to them, and the other being the Pro Tem Fire District, and I've left several messages and haven't got a return phone call. But all the members that I've spoken with and their representatives are in favor of moving ahead with the process, knowing that they will also have an opportunity to voice any concerns or comments at the public hearing once that is scheduled. Here are some of the responsibilities of the board, and they may not be limited to just these, but The main thing is to submit the annual report and to have the input and part of the decision process of determining the North American industrial codes for the targeted industries that need to be a part of the application. And one thing to keep in mind also that this, you know, the planning and zoning is another hot topic in our county, and this effort right here has nothing to do with planning and zoning. This will not affect property owners' rights in any way more than the system or lack of system we currently have as far as incentive programs. Here are the ineligible businesses: retail, food and drink, gambling, educational, religious, public, admin. One thing to note: the 51% of interstate commerce by businesses that are eligible. You know, that would be a company, say for instance Jack Henry, that they do a lot of interstate commerce. They would be able to take advantage of this system, this program, if we put it into place. And the reason I've referenced Jack Henry is because they are now a tenant at the Mountain Complex, and hopefully we'll see some plans come from them and some expansion projects and working with the data center and server farm and so on. So local tax abatement, the minimum required for the zone is 50% for 10 years and 5-year increments. The terms and the class codes will all be specifically drawn up and in the final ordinance. And if you notice, the bottom point is that the county does not lose any revenue from the existing tax base. This is all about new and expanded. Here, the public hearing that we've mentioned. Once we have the board approved and a resolution to move forward, we've got to give 30-day notice to the head of the Department of Economic Development. We have to send out certified letters to the taxing entities. There's a lot of steps yet to be done before we get to the public hearing. So, again, that keeping in mind of our time crunch of those census numbers. Submit application. We have, and I think I included as well in your packet, the 16 or so steps that we're working on. As far as the tax credits and how they're calculated, half a percent of new investment is eligible, and 2% of new payroll is eligible. One good thing about this whole program is, you know, some people say, well, what if we have no tax liability? Well, if you don't have a tax liability, then you can transfer or they're fully refundable. You can sell them or transfer them. And I know that some companies have used these to buy down rates at lending institutions or to do other creative things with those tax credits. There's just some stats on there's updated numbers in your handout regarding the number of zones and what the what they've been able to do since this all started back in 2006. Summary for us locals: again, we need to choose the type of companies, the industry codes, choose the abatement. I'm pretty sure that Forsyth utilizes the 50% tax abatement on property tax. Again, maximum of 10 years, and once the contract ends, we get back to 100% of the tax base. Again, not anything like a TIF. So, again, the state, that's how they figure. Free access to list on location, when we already have that, but the technical assistance and help from the DED is very much appreciated. Again, Carol provided us with this PowerPoint, and I want to thank you for your time and support. You know, another little tidbit of information that we picked up recently is that, you know, Taney County is number 8 in the state in sales tax revenue generation as a county. But as far as an annual average wage for a county, we're number 75. So we do better than over 100 counties generating revenue, but when we compensate, we only do better in a little over 30. So that's another thing to keep in mind. Again, the whole point of this is to get us into the game when it comes to business attraction and even expansion. And you know, obviously with NEC utilizing the existing program, we know it works. So again, the takeaway today is we'd like to get this seven-member board approved. I've included a sample resolution and ordinance in your packet, and also the seven names that we've discussed amongst ourselves. And so I'm open for any questions, any comments from the gallery, if you would allow. We have a large number of our board members here today from our partnership. A lot of the municipalities have represented, some taxing entities represented. So I'm done unless you would like anything more from me.
I've got a question, but I don't know whether it pertains to exactly what. We have an existing business that, I hate to name the name, but it's very important to all of Eastern Taney County, Northern Arkansas, and surrounding counties that I think is going out of business, and it is not tourism related. How can this? How could this have prevented or support such a business that would be, as we would consider, a vital industry for the county?
Well, it depends. I mean, the program is designed for attraction and expansion. So if they didn't have the plans or the ability to expand or grow, then I don't know if it would have been. Now, if they were marginal and the tax credits could help them and it could help them grow their business that way, the minimal requirements for the program is you have to create two new jobs over the average county wage, and you have to invest $100,000 in capital improvements. That's the minimum to qualify as far as those qualifications. Now, there may be other programs available through the state that we could tap in to help this company, but as far as the EEZ, unless I know more about their situation, I couldn't give you a good enough answer to see how we might be able to help with that or not. But if you'd like to call me or hook me up to them, I think there's other things we can do.
Right, I'm going to talk to you about this situation because it's really on my mind that we would let, or I know that when a business comes in, management of that business is a big process of how successful they are. This business has been a long time business in Taney County and very well established, and it has, the way I understand it, recently shut the doors in the last couple of weeks, which made a big difference in a lot of employment in the area that wasn't tourism related. And so those are my concerns. I mean, that's the reason I am in support of such a thing as the program that you're establishing here. But I do want to know how there is a possible help for those that are in need of. Why gain one when you lose two?
Sure, yeah.
So,
but again, just I'd love to talk to them. Again, without knowing more, there's a multitude of state programs available for business retention, and we can, and obviously if I don't have the answer, we can refer to our partners up in Springfield with SREP because they have a very substantial retention program that they utilize. So
just a couple of questions and a couple of points, Jonas. What we told staff earlier was to set aside time for this Thursday as for part of the plan that we had talked about earlier, at least the schedule for moving forward. And at that time, if I'm not mistaken, on Thursday, we'll have to vote as to whether or not to move forward, to appoint a board. And part of the role of the board, as I understand it, is to pick up the ball and run with it and to advise us on the establishment of, and of course this work's already been done. Normally, you appoint the board, then do the work, I think, but we've done a great deal of work, you all have done a great deal of work in moving us to this point. And once we reach that decision on Thursday, my assumption is that we have to establish a public hearing. We have to wait at least 30 days before we can have the public hearing. We can invite all parties in, then come in, pro and con, to talk about the establishment of the zone. And then it will be up to the county commission to make application through Jefferson City to have the district form.
And just to clarify, we're going by step by step just how the process is dictated by the Department of Economic Development. Once the board is established and the resolution is approved to move forward, it's not, you know, it says to establish the zone, but I think that's not a fair representation. Then the next steps get to fall into place. And again, the timeline, the soonest we could even have the public hearing is if you take action on Thursday and we get a letter out on Friday, you're looking at mid-August before we could even hold the public hearing. I'm fairly certain that there are other several steps in there that I don't think it's realistic that we would approve the board, approve the resolution, send the letters. I think there's more things that need to be done. But again, you're right on the process.
Well, we have to set aside time to have public input. That's an important part of it.
Yeah, and there's the rules for the – we have to give written notice to the Department of Economic Development. We have to – within 20 days of the public hearing, it has to be published in the local newspaper or papers, not before the 20 days prior to, but not longer than 30. So you've got that window. Again, the certified letters – have to be sent to all the taxing entities in the county so they're aware. And then again, the public hearing ends up, that's kind of the end of the line as far as public input and any questions or concerns. It should be, everything should be addressed by then. There shouldn't be any surprises, but you never know, it's a public hearing. But you do your due diligence and you talk to all the parties concerned and you hopefully get to that point. Unfortunately, last time we were at this point, the public hearing was not a very pleasant thing for Carol Shoemaker, and so I personally would like to do anything I can to keep her from going through something like that again.
The resolutions you provided were foresight resolutions, right?
Yes, sir. Okay. And I've got copies of Polk County's, which may be more applicable to what for us. I just I asked the department. They're updating some things up at the department, and she wasn't able to get me a blank resolution. So
we'll need that for Thursday.
Some time ago, one of the MAC meetings, I can't remember the lady, but was it Andrew County or was that in northwestern Missouri?
The wind farm?
There were two or three counties that had, in fact, established enhanced enterprise zones, and they were raving about what they were able to do and what was happening in their county. So I think maybe we could pull
we just need one for Thursday too.
Yeah, and I guess I got the email from the regarding the Polk County examples, but I didn't have time to print them off before I came over.
Sure.
But I can forward those to you via email if that's okay.
Yes.
Tomorrow.
We could. I'll do it this afternoon.
Here, just the next few minutes, what time we're scheduled for Thursday, and we will let you know ASAP.
Sure. Do you want me present on Thursday or to answer any more questions or?
I'm satisfied. I mean, this is a long time waiting here, so I'm just ready to vote for it. So, but Thursday, if you're available, be great. If not, it's not.
Just
not
let me know if I can run.
What would happen on Thursday if we move forward is we're setting the wheels in motion.
Basically, yeah. You open the next door to the next room for us to get to work.
Yeah. Any questions? Jonas, thank you for your presentation.
Thank you very much for the opportunity again. Very much appreciate your support and appreciate your help.
Thank you, sir. Is there anybody else here that would like to say anything in regards to this presentation today? I know this is not a public hearing, but you're welcome to make a comment if you choose to do so. Yes, sir.
Make a quick comment.
Would you come up to the microphone? We're recording and...
Okay.
Broadcasting at the same time.
I live in Polk County, and I'm just going to make a quick comment that they passed theirs last year. And in the newspaper, I don't remember what the business was, but they've had their first business, I think it was last week or week before that, came to the county because of the EEZ. And so it seems to be successful. It's been in for a couple months now, and they've already got one business that's come in because of it.
That's great.
So I'll pass that along while I was here.
Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Anybody else?
Rick? Commissioners, again, I would just ask you to consider the size of the gallery and who they are and their commitment to this. That's why they're here today. So they really do appreciate you hearing the comments today. And they've done a lot of hard work. It's rewarding to me personally because a broad cross section of the county has come together to try and secure a way forward to add another toolbox or tool to the toolbox to secure good jobs for Taney County. So again, just to ask you to consider the gallery here as a base of support and what they're doing there with the partnership. So again, my thanks to them and you both simultaneously for hearing this, and we're pretty encouraged that this could move forward. So thank you.
Anyone else?
That will conclude the meeting regarding the Enhanced Enterprise Zone presentation, and we'll move to ratifying the TCTAB study. Sir? Thank you all for...
Travis?
Ready? Travis Heyer with HGR. I gave you guys copies of the transportation matrix. Just, I guess, an update on the process. What we had planned is we gave a copy of this to the TCTAB, and we were going to get their input at their last meeting, make any changes, any kind of summary sheets that they wanted. Their last meeting was canceled, so we haven't got that input yet, so we were kind of waiting to present it to you and actually give you a presentation until we had gotten their input. If you're ready to ratify it now, that's fine with us, too. If you want some new summary sheets to kind of... I got a big sheet of that cover sheet that you guys have that's a little easier to see. But we, as far as getting a summary sheet that, you know, color-coded it, as we talked about, we haven't done that yet because we were kind of waiting on the board input.
The main thing that I was interested in when we talked is this is a growing document.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So... if there's anything inside this sheet that we want to add to or the present to the board, then that in itself takes care of the adoption of it, as far as I'm concerned, as long as it's being able to be added to. Or
yeah, I mean, I guess my thinking on this is at the next TCTAB meeting, we'll still get their input, make any changes we need to change, and like I said, it's kind of a continually updating document, so whenever somebody has input, we'll update it as needed, I guess.
When is the next TCTAB meeting?
The last one was supposed to be last week, so 3 weeks, something like that.
Just wanted to add to what Travis was saying. The meeting got canceled due to I was out of town and we didn't get the notice over. The Taney County Transportation Advisory Board has looked through it, and although we haven't finally sat down and voted to say it's all okay, we liked every part of it. Everybody that's a member thinks it's great, and I don't know what kind of tweaks there'd be. I've looked through it, and we think the consultant did a great job. You see, it has 41 projects on it, and the way it's set up, it's on an Excel spreadsheet. So with a little bit of training, myself, anybody on the committee, or your staff could update it. So as we see projects in the future, we just add the criteria, add the links, the accident history, things like that, and plug it right in. We divided it into a small, medium, and large, so if you want to allocate money towards a little project that's $100,000 so it doesn't have to compete with the $5 million projects, you can do it that way. And we can sort it any way you want. I think it will help you long-term, and the committee's more or less, we're behind it, ready for it to be adopted and go forward. Our changes would be minimal, if any.
And this helps us with the state and any function that they might have that would, if they had a project and we were on board with this document, then it would maybe increase the chances of that project being taken under consideration.
We're pretty optimistic that's the case. We set this up just like the state does their prioritization, same kind of format, a little different because it's a county, but it should blend right in with MoDOT, what they do. And Buddy Roberts and I are on the, are your representatives on the Transportation Advisory Council for this district of MoDOT, and they actually have postponed their meetings waiting to get Taney County's report because they think it's going to work out so well with their prioritization.
With it being a growing document, gentlemen, I'm ready to approve.
Would we want to use the word approval or ratify, though? Makes no difference?
I don't know.
Is that your motion?
Okay. What would you rather use? What terminology would you rather use?
Well, I used ratify because that's what you had put on the agenda. Let's move for approval of the document, then. Draft project prioritization list.
Yes, I'll make a motion for approval.
I'll second the motion.
Motion's been made and seconded that the County Commission approve the Taney County Transportation Advisory Board draft project prioritization list as presented. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Thank you.
And I, just very quickly, I know that there's a great deal of work that went into this, and when we got our first glimpse of the couple that we did look at, it was really exciting to have all the information right in front of you. And I really look for this to be a great tool.
The committee did a lot of work and consultants, too, so it's been good. I think you'll get a lot of good out of it.
We're excited about it.
Yep.
All right. Thank you.
Yes.
Do they have the thick thing, the color picture of every one of them?
Right.
I have extra copies if you needed that.
And if you want
larger plots or anything, whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I don't think
he is. It's going to be late. We're almost done. This will always be late.
We don't need it.
Yes, I think. Yeah. Maybe go for the reset. What we have left, just the boys' camp road? Is that
yeah.
right?
Should be quick.
Look like a reduction is what it looked like.
Let's move to the Boys Camp Road project. Travis?
The first part we need to do is on the pay applications, this is kind of more a question. I don't know whether you guys need to formally vote to approve these, or since it's an approved project, if they just go straight to your accounts payable, or how you want to handle those.
Accounts payable. I mean, we already approved the project.
Well, what we have are changes.
Well, change orders.
Two. We have a change order and a pay application.
And I think that we need to approve those.
We need to.
The pay application?
We need to.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine with me. I can bring in pay applications.
Yes. Motion for approval as presented.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. And I don't have them in front of me.
Okay. Yeah, I'll need to get those. I gave you guys all
the originals. For approval as presented, I've looked at them.
And just kind of a point of clarification, what will happen is you guys will pay these, then I'll send one to our grant administrator. She'll submit them to DED and get you reimbursed.
Right.
Specifically, Lynn, it's change order number one and pay application number one. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Thank you, Travis.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You guys want to catch them? We're at the end of the day.
That's it? Motion to adjourn? Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Did you get all that, Lynn?
Looking in your eyes.